It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Wakey, wakey.
Time to get up.
Good morning, citizens.
Up and at them.
Rise and shine.
This is your wake-up call, people.
Come on, the coffee's on.
We're going to get you guys circulating on Christian radio.
I understand young people. I know what's hip. I know what's on. I know what's lit. I know what's fleek.
What's up, my nerds?
Nerds! I work with a bunch of nerds.
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Rise and shine, nerds.
Welcome to the Back Row Morning Show, a part of the Love Thy Nerd Podcast Network. I'm Station Manager Matt.
Who sounds incredibly depressed today.
Ooh, it's going to be a rough one.
And I'm Mo, and we're the official exclusive morning show for LTN Radio. Nearly all of Love Thy Nerd's shows and podcasts air on LTN Radio first, and you'll also find an amazing mix of Christian rock, rap, pop, and indie all week long.
That's right. So if you are listening to our show on podcasts, you are late. And you're missing out on all that we have to offer. Check out LTNOnAir.com and download the Live 365 app. Search and favorite LTN Radio.
Today on the show, we're talking about Christians and the election.
Whoop, whoop. We also got a Junk Food Tuesday. And that was not a sincere whoop, whoop.
No,
so
it wasn't.
You know. Also got a Junk Food Tuesday, a taste test, and Ask Us Anything, five random facts, a lot more. But first, today is Tuesday, November 3rd, 2020, and we got some holidays to celebrate.
I'm really going to need you to be a little more energized.
I'll get there.
I understand that it's not a happy day, but... it is National Sandwich Day. That's something to
that
be happy
about. That is something
about.
To be happy
now,
about.
Now, Daedra, get in the kitchen and make him a sandwich.
I wouldn't trust Daedra to make me a sandwich. Even if she doesn't have to cook it, she'd burn it.
Oh, my goodness.
That's just, she'll tell you. She'll tell you. Even our kids. Our kids, every time I make something that Daedra usually makes, they're like, oh, it's not black. Daedra asked, did you like daddy's better? Yeah. Why? Because he didn't burn it. And it's not for lack of trying. It's not like she doesn't know how long to cook it. It's like something always happens when she's cooking.
Yeah.
Where she loses track of time.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, well, this grilled cheese is black on the side. Sorry, kids. Poor wife.
Poor Daedra. It's also National Homemaker Day.
Oh, well, that's mostly me.
I was going to say.
It's me during the week and her during the weekends. Yeah. So we split it.
We talked about this last week. Yeah. If you want an update,
go to the Great Laundry Debate episode last Monday.
Yeah. And hey, something to be happy about. Let's all do a happy dance.
It's our favorite.
It's Election Day.
Yay. Oh, gosh, guys. I woke up this morning with the biggest headache, and it's not going to stop.
You're right.
And I'm one of those people that since I've been old enough to vote, I have to stay up as late as coverage goes until they either say we have a winner or we're not going to have a winner tonight, go to bed. And, oh, I stayed up. What was like 3 a.m. last time, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then time before that was... the two times before that, it was relatively early. Two times before that, it was like before midnight. It was like 10 p.m., I feel like. Obama. Before that, it was George Bush versus John Kerry.
Woo!
Which was the first one that I was able to vote in, I think. Yeah, that was 2004.
And can we just bring Bush back?
He was. Remember when he threw that baseball after 9/11? Wasn't that a great time? Didn't we all feel like one country?
We all need a little bit of a Bush presidency.
Yeah, that was my first one. And I remember that one was very, that was heavily contested. That was that big.
Mm-hmm.
They were at each other's throats
for
that one. And still compares not at all to this year.
No. But I'm sitting here thinking, as far back as I can remember, we have always thought, this is the most historical election there's been.
The most important one.
Yeah.
If you only vote in one election in your whole life, it must be this one. Every time, yeah. Yeah, we can't get into it yet.
Okay.
We're going to be talking about this all show. So buckle up, everybody.
So now's the time to get started, really. Why are you cutting us off?
Before we get to that, we're going to play a game of Onion, Not Onion, everybody. So this game, I've got three headlines. Two of these headlines are fake fabrications from publications like The Onion or Babylon Bee, and one of them is real, and Mo and you at home are going to try and guess which one is the real one.
What is real?
What is real? Here we go. Headline number one. Man who only waited 15 minutes to vote worried experience is too easy to be legitimate. NASA announces moon will be leaving Earth's orbit to take on new position with bigger planet.
That's fair.
President Trump's Twitter accessed by outside source who guessed the password was MAGA2020 with an exclamation point.
Wow.
Which one do you think is the real one?
The first one.
Man who waited only 15 minutes, worried experience was too easy to be legitimate. A Dutch security researcher says he accessed President Trump's Twitter account last week by guessing his password.
Wow.
MAGA 2020 with an exclamation point.
Okay.
I mean, I mean, this is the president of the United States who you would think would have somebody helping him with security issues. But that just proves to me he has had an iron grip on his cell phone and Twitter account since day one and has never let anybody on to help him guide what he's doing on there, which has been probably his
biggest,
most
downfall.
Obvious downfall. Yeah. If there was just one person between him and that cell phone.
Just one. That's all we need. Melania, what are you doing?
Quit changing the rose garden. Just watch over the phone.
That's what we need you to do. That's it. Stop sending me text messages after text message and just watch the phone.
Mo accidentally signed up for a newsletter of some sort that just will not stop texting.
Five times a day. This is Eric. This is Don Jr. This is Melania. No, it's not. Stop lying to me and whoever you really are. Stop texting me.
Your name is Craig and you live with your parents. You get paid $5 an hour to send me these text messages. Victor Gevers, a security researcher at the GDI Foundation and chair of the Dutch Institute of Vulnerability. Thank you. You're Disclosure. Which finds and reports security
vulnerability.
Told TechCrunch he guessed the president's account password and was successful on the fifth attempt. Fifth. It took him five tries to guess that. It usually takes like a computer program that's running like several different ones a second. He took five shots at it and he got in. The account was not protected by two-factor authentication. You're the president of the United States! You don't even have two-factor authentication on.
Matt's a little upset.
I'm so disappointed. I didn't read the story all the way through. I'm so disappointed.
But here's the thing. Do we know?
I have to have two-factor authentication on.
Apparently, what I have to say is not important.
I'm sorry. It was already on the way out of my head before you started talking.
Do we know for sure that it was his actual Twitter account?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is it how?
It's not the president one. It's his personal one, the @RealDonaldTrump. That's the one. But it just, yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't a hacker. I mean, this is a company that does these kind of things in order to usually sell their services. I don't think they're doing that for the president. But, yeah, so he logged in. Then he emailed the Homeland Security Cyber Unit and the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency to disclose the security lapse. He proved that he had gotten into it by posting a screenshot of him in the actual editing portion of the profile, which I would assume is hard to fake. I don't know. Why would you fake it? It wasn't ever, it, this, as far as I can tell, this story wasn't played up as any sort of political move.
Yeah.
I didn't actually hear it on the news or anything. I just found it on TechCrunch last week. So it's not, I don't think this was any kind of scam or anything like that. And it's not the first time this has happened either. The first time was in 2016 when the same guy and two others on his team cracked Trump's password from the 2012 LinkedIn breach. The researchers took his password, which was "you're fired," all lowercase, his catchphrase from the television show The Apprentice, and found that it led it into his Twitter account. So the same guy has gotten into his Twitter, his, the president's Twitter account two times.
I really don't. I just don't know how to feel.
All right. First of all, folks, if your password is made up of actual words, especially if they're all lowercase, you're doing it wrong. Because that's how it's that's how people break in. It's very simple. You need a string.
Guess my password. Guess it right now.
I can't just guess it. But there are people who are trained to like stalk your profile, learn all. You post all these
you about to call
surveys
me out.
Of all the places you've been and all the things you love and all your friends and family and pets and all this stuff. All these general things that people use to make passwords.
Oh, I know.
And they scan all that stuff and then they just try every single version of every single one of them. All
yep.
the dates,
and
birthdays,
they ain't
all
that
stuff.
And they figure out my password from any of that. They might be able to find my, what's the security question answer? They might be able to find that.
That's another way.
They might be able to find that. But they ain't going to figure out my password.
One of my favorite screen grabs from a Facebook post from a few years ago was, your social security number is how much money you have in the bank. How rich are you?
Uh-huh.
And they just type out their social right there in the comments. Wow, I got 8,500, 800, blah, 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 $1 million. Now so do I.
Right.
Because I've taken out a credit card or several in your name. Mm-hmm. People.
I mean, what are you going to do?
That's funny. That's a funny one right there. All right. Let's take a break here. It is Junk Food Tuesday, y'all. We're going to have fun with that.
There's more. Back Row Morning Show in just a few.
Stick around. This week in Nerdy News, this is LTNN. Reshoots for Zack Snyder's cut of Justice League are now underway, and I don't care what you naysayers say, I am so dang excited for a four-hour-long Justice League movie that may feature Ryan Reynolds reprising his role as Green Lantern, okay? I don't care if both those movies were critically panned, I need a little hope in my life, and so I'm banking on some redemption. Speaking of comic book adaptations, after several changes to the cast, Why the Last Man is beginning production. Ben Schnetzer will play Yorick Brown, and his pet monkey named Ampersand will now be CG animated. Why the Last Man is set to premiere on FX on Hulu in 2021. The playdate has been rescheduled. Panic has announced new plans for the debut of its retro-styled Pacific Northwest-developed portable gaming device, the playdate, after COVID-related shutdowns forced the company to abandon its 2020 release date. The playdate was announced by Panic from Portland, Oregon in May of last year. It's an old-fashioned handheld console made to run black and white 2-bit games on a 2.7-inch unlit screen with a special hand-crank controller on its side and modern content delivery system. The first round of games for this system are all originals. This is not simply some sort of cheap knockoff handheld that you'd buy at the store at one of those kiosks at Christmas time. Instead, this is a handheld that promises a brand new experience while delivering on the nostalgia factor. Since the official release date has been pushed back, you can still get in on the pre-ordering right now. And lastly, on November 17th, Disney Plus is releasing the brand new Lego Star Wars Holiday Special, featuring characters from the most recent trilogy. A Star Wars Holiday Special. What could possibly go wrong? Calm down, Chewie. That is going to do it for this week in Nerdy News. I've been Station Manager Matt, and this is LTNN. Welcome back to the Back Row Morning Show. I'm Station Manager Matt.
And I'm Mo. If you're listening on the Love Thy Nerd Podcast Network, remember that all of our shows air first on LTN Radio during the actual morning hours, and we'd love to kick off your day with some humor and fun.
That is right. You can head over to LTNOnAir.com and see the schedule, and also download the Live 365 app on your smartphone device.
But before we do anything else, I got 5 random facts for you.
Boop, 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 boop.
About Election Day.
Yay!
Ready?
Another reminder.
Yep. It wasn't until the 1890s that secret ballots became commonly used in America.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Really?
Oh, 1890s.
1990.
I'm like, really? That is just...
That was in our lifetime.
Yeah.
Wow.
They really trusted each other back then.
1890.
I mean, I feel like this year, it's even more... secretive. It's like, not only are the ballots secretive, who we're voting for is secretive for a lot of people, because we don't want to die or we don't want to be ridiculed or anything. I mean, that's a general genuine concern for a lot of people in a lot of areas in this country right now, which is crazy to me.
I have felt like that since 2004.
I've never felt like that before. I've felt, you know, anger, you know, back and forth and blah, blah, blah. This is the first time I've felt like people are really actually scared their life is going to be taken if they put one sign or the other in their yard.
Well, it has gotten pretty crazy here. I will say that.
You've killed quite a few people already.
In the 1872 election, here you go, President Grant ran against a dead man. Horace Greeley, his opponent, died during the election process.
I do remember learning about that. Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, told you. Individual states decide how and when to register voters, which has often led to confusion. Only 13 states actually allow registration on Election Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know that one. Our state's one of those that doesn't, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
George Washington spent his entire campaign budget, which was 50 pounds, on 160 gallons of liquor to serve to potential voters. I mean, it's a good way to...
You vote for me?
Yeah.
Got some beer here.
Yeah. I mean, either I'm going to...
If you vote for me.
Appeal to that side of you, or I'm going to get you drunk enough.
Get you drunk enough. Like, hey, pull this lever real quick.
Yeah, mm-hmm, exactly.
Right. Okay.
And lastly, as a follow-up to the last one, up until 2012, it was illegal in South Carolina to buy alcohol on Election Day.
On Election Day, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I get that one. I get it. Like, you're voting for the country here, guys. Let's do it soberly.
Let's do it with a sound mind. Drink after you vote. It may be the only way you make it through.
All right, it is Junk Food Tuesday. Despite the fact that Mo and I are both constantly on and off diets, there's only one thing we can't deny. We love junk food.
I'm going to need you to change
and each
that.
Week. Quit telling people my business.
You ain't got that right.
We like to discuss new and upcoming junk foods that have been spotted in stores or announced. And later in the show, we're going to have a taste test.
Oh.
Mo's over here looking at her phone.
I was checking.
Like, what diet am I on right now?
What week is it?
Is this paleo week? Am I on the bagel diet where you just eat bagels? The egg yolk diet.
Oh my gosh. You know what? We started the show with you in a weird funk, and I think it's just
transferring it on over.
Yep.
All right, well, let's see if these new junk foods make you a little happier here.
Okay.
Snyder's of Hanover is releasing.
Yes, I'm already happy.
Pretzel rounds, pretzel balls that are dipped in milk chocolate. I mean, it's like a, what are those called? Flips? No.
I got really excited and I'm super let down.
What are those things called?
Flips.
Are they
right.
Flips?
Yes,
okay. Yeah.
Flips.
I haven't had those in forever. Do they still make those?
Yeah, they still make them.
Are they good still?
I mean, they're all right.
Are they good back then?
Chocolate covered pretzels. Yeah. I make them every winter. They melt before you can eat them.
Flips don't do that, though.
Yes, they do.
Nuh-uh.
They ain't got the same chocolate that M&M's do so that it doesn't melt in your hand.
M&M's has the same chocolate. It's just covered in the candy shell. Your facts are wrong.
Well, this isn't fact time.
How do you expect people to trust your facts at fact time if you can't get your facts right elsewhere? Returning for Christmas, Hostess holiday sprinkled cupcakes and mint chocolate Twinkies, which I'll admit I have not had one of the chocolate Twinkie varieties, but in my head, that is not a Twinkie.
Neither of these sound good to me at all.
They're holiday sprinkled cupcakes. I enjoy.
I'm not a Hostess fan. I am a Little Debbie fan.
Yeah, no. Me too, actually.
See?
Yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. But
Big Deborah.
Except for Twinkies. Big Deborah. Big Deborah. But except for Twinkies. Cloud cakes with Little Debbie. No, thank you. Those are garbage.
I'm not even a Twinkie fan.
I'm like a once a year Twinkie
That's
fan.
That's the thing. So I don't think you're really a Twinkie fan.
Well, I don't hate it. I hate black licorice. I will never eat it again. So I'm not a black licorice fan.
No, but I think that you like the idea of a Twinkie and you're like, okay, I'll eat a Twinkie, forgetting that it's like eating the kitchen sponge. And then you take one bite and you're like, ugh.
Yeah, you may be right. Like, I'll eat one and I'll be like, that was all right. And then I'm like halfway through the second, I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah. I don't know what I was thinking.
This experience is over. Thank you. All right. The white fudge covered Oreos are back.
Ooh.
Always a hit. Always a hit.
Okay.
Super delicious.
Okay.
M&M's coming out with a key lime pie flavor in Easter time. They've been hyping this actually for over a year now. Their new key lime pie recipe.
So initially I'm like, ooh, that sounds good. But then I remember that M&M's is chocolate. And so it's chocolate mixed with key lime flavor.
Well, it'll be a white chocolate. It'll be like a cream.
But still.
It could be good. I feel like it could be good. But then M&M's is like
hit or miss.
100%, 0%.
Yeah,
there's
every time.
No in between.
Every time.
But I gotta give them the benefit of the doubt because they have been working on this for a long time, and this is already an update from a previous key lime flavor. It wasn't key lime pie; I think it was just key lime flavor that didn't quite hit the mark, and so they took it off. And they've been working on this new version for a long, long time.
All right, then it better be more than 100. If you have been working on this for a long, long time, if you've already failed at it once, took it off the shelves, and you've been working on it for a while, listen, you ain't got nothing but room for success at this point.
All right, so that's something we're going to look at for taste tests in the future. Also, we're going to look for the Sour Patch Kids White Chocolate Bunny for Easter. White chocolate bunny full of Sour Patch Kid bits. Remember the cookie? You remember the Chips Ahoy cookie with the Sour Patch Kid bits?
Okay, hold on. I need you to talk this out with me. It's not a hollow bunny with Sour Patch Kids inside.
No.
Okay.
That would be better, I think.
But just the visual of the hollow bunny.
Popping the bunny out of all the little multicolored children pouring out. Blah. Yeah, you're right. But no, this will be a solid white chocolate flavored bunny with Sour Patch Kids inside.
Okay.
Like in the mix.
Okay.
It's going to be gross. Arby's has returned with I think it's been 2 years since they've had this, their deep fried turkey club. and their Market Fresh Cranberry Deep Fried Turkey Sandwich.
Ooh, ooh. Now that is the bomb diggity. That is Thanksgiving in a sandwich right there. I don't even need to have Thanksgiving leftovers. Just take me to Arby's.
Yeah, I mean, look. When Arby's says they got the meats, guys, they got, the meats. They do the meats pretty well.
Even our Arby's.
Yeah. Our Arby's has been, at some point, the most rundown restaurant. Now, not lately. They refurbished the restaurant, and it's clean and everything. But even when it was janky and dirty, their food was still dang good.
Yeah, it was. I did not think twice about eating it. But go across the street to KFC that looked exactly the same, and you best believe I was leaving that drive-thru.
I don't understand how that KFC is still in business.
I don't either.
It has never cleaned a thing, from what I can tell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, come visit Clovis, guys.
It's great. It's half great. Just look on the left side of the street, not the right side of the... No, whatever. Yeah. All right. Dove white chocolate and lemon meringue.
Ooh.
Little chocolate candies.
Again, I'm right back to where I was with the M&Ms and the key lime. They get me with those flavors that I love. And then I'm like, oh, but I don't know.
Now, Dove has a good track record. I've never had a bad Dove candy.
See, and I'm really not a super fan of
Dove candy. No, really?
I mean, to me, there's other chocolates that I prefer more.
What do you prefer more than Dove?
What is the round one?
Ooh, Lindt's.
Lindt's.
Yeah.
I like Lindt's. Yeah. I like Ghirardelli.
I've never been a Ghirardelli fan.
Ooh, I like Ghirardelli. I think Dove would be like... Third, as far as specialty chocolates are concerned.
Do you consider Hershey's Nuggets specialty chocolates?
No.
Because I do, and they're delicious.
They ain't specialty.
When they came out, they were advertised exclusively to women. Do you remember that? Hershey's Nuggets?
No.
They were exclusively advertised to women. It was like your treasure at the end of the day for your hard day at home caring for those children. That's how it was advertised.
All right, Hershey. what you're doing.
So I remember, like, when I was a kid, you know, that's when they came out, when we were children. I'm like, am I allowed to buy these? Shouldn't these be in the ladies section with all the lady things?
That's kind of funny. I have a hard time with Hershey. I'll be really honest. Because I grew up going to Hershey Park.
Yeah.
In Pennsylvania. And the second you walk through that entry gate, it's like you take one big whiff in and all you smell for the rest of the day is chocolate. It's like heaven. I'm not lying. But I'm just not a big Hershey fan as far as eating it is concerned. And I've always felt like massive amounts of guilt for not being a Hershey fan.
All right. Well, Clancy's is coming out with a potato chip that tastes like turkey and stuffing. Didn't work as candy corn last week.
No, but I could definitely
might
see it working.
Might work on a potato chip. Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
You know, even though I felt like I was dying, that taste test was our best one.
It's pretty funny.
Our best worst one.
I've shown it to my kids. I've shown it to all my friends. What'd you say? You said your husband said that the turkey one turned you into a turkey.
Yeah, because I tried to fly away.
Flapping your arms. Did you see the close-up at the end that I did of the video?
You always pick the most unflattering.
It was too funny.
I'm glad you think it's so funny.
Your facial reaction was just so funny.
It was bad.
Eli's like, is she crying? I'm like, yeah. She's miserable right now.
That's what you do. Gosh.
Deidre refused to taste one.
Good.
I got John to taste one. I still need to post that video. I have a bonus video of John. It might already be up by the time you hear this, but I'm gonna make sure that we get that up. I had my mother-in-law taste some. But she lost most of her sense of taste and smell a long time ago.
Yeah.
She tried all six. Didn't faze her at all. I'm like, man, you're lucky.
That's the truth. my lead teacher is a candy corn fan. And so I want to take them and stick them in her candy corn jar. jeez.
I got some
candy corn jar. And just watch.
just wait
sit
for
back
it to happen.
And watch.
Pranked. She's vomiting on the floor.
I hope it's one of the days that we have students live in person.
All right, Nestle's Sensations Cinnamilk is coming out. Cinnamon Toast Crunch flavored milk.
Hey. I don't care how unhealthy it is.
Sounds pretty good.
It sounds amazing.
Pretty good.
It is the only cereal that I will drink the milk after.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one I definitely will.
Yeah.
Pillsbury Hot Cocoa Cookie Dough with marshmallow flavored chips is the new addition to their Eat or Bake line. Eat the cookie dough or bake the cookies. You trying to figure that out in your head?
Yes.
Hot cocoa cookie dough.
There's Pillsbury hot cocoa cookie dough with marshmallows. Hold up.
Marshmallow flavored chips. So not actual marshmallows.
It does sound.
Sounds pretty good.
Decent.
Sounds pretty good. All right. Two things from Papa Murphy's. Papa Murphy's has their Hog Heaven pizza right now. It's Canadian bacon, ground sausage, and normal bacon. Yeah, sure. Why not? But they also have a new dessert in the form of pumpkin spice cookie bars. Follows the s'mores cookie bars layout. So it's got that little rectangle that come in. You cook them in that thing. Sounds pretty good. I mean,
if you like pumpkin spice.
I do. And I think, since I can't eat the pumpkin pie because of the texture, this might be a close, you know, second. This might.
Might be a good replacement.
Yeah, there we go. Might be a good replacement.
Yeah.
A good fill-in.
That's, yeah.
Because I like pumpkin bread. Oh, I love pumpkin bread. Ooh, I'm burping just thinking of it. So I bet I would really like these cookies. Ooh, a pumpkin roll. Oh, those like big Swiss cake roll things with the pumpkin cake. Oh, my gosh.
It's got to be done right. I grew up with the best pumpkin roll baker that there ever was.
Well, there is a good one in this town. My wife's work gives out pumpkin rolls and pecan pies from a local baker every year to their clients.
Who's the baker?
I don't know. But they roll it in... pecans as well. Mm. So it's got this pecan crust over. Oh my goodness gracious. It's so good. It's so good, y'all. Oh, it's making me forget what today is.
Mm. That's what we need.
Another chicken restaurant is jumping into the chicken sandwich game. Church's is now coming out with their chicken sandwich, crispy fried chicken breast filet, three pickles, mayo on a cross-cut brioche bun that is brushed with their honey butter. Their little kick to it. So here's the deal. What makes Chick-fil-A's chicken sandwich so special is that if you eat it with just the way it comes, just the pickles mm-hmm. or with no pickles, just the chicken on the bun, it's amazing still.
Mm-hmm.
All of these other jokers that are popping up have to add mayo or some sort of special sauce to it, and that's where you're getting your flavor. The flavor ain't coming from the chicken. That fried chicken is the same garbage fried chicken that they've had for their entire existence. It's coming from the sauce. That's what you're getting confused on, guys. That's where I'm staking my claim, and this is why I think that way, because I don't like sauce on my sandwiches, and so I went to a Popeye's chicken ready to be proven wrong, ready to have a fantastic chicken sandwich, and I ordered it without the sauce that it came on it, and it was it was on par with like a Wendy's chicken sandwich, which is good, but it's not a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich. I'm sorry, guys. Anybody who believes the church's or the Popeye's chicken sandwich is better, you're walking down a dangerous path. That's all I'm saying. Lined with mayo. Ugh. Mayo on chicken. Ugh. We talked about mayo on eggs the other day. Ugh. Just mayo on chicken.
You know, and I do agree. That used to be, when I was in high school, we got Chick-fil-A chicken sandwiches delivered every day.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And that was something that you could, I think it cost like $5 to get one.
I would pay it.
Yeah. And so I can remember getting a Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich and just eating it straight out of the package. And people would be like, you ain't gonna put mayonnaise on that? You ain't gonna... No. No. I like mayonnaise.
Yeah.
But I am not gonna ruin...
Right.
...what is already amazing.
That's what makes it so popular.
Yeah.
Is that it's the flavor.
Yeah.
The chicken is the flavor.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Man.
But I will also say this. I do not like going to Chick-fil-A for just chicken. I like going to Chick-fil-A for their chicken sandwich. There are other chicken restaurants that I feel like have better, like, chicken tenders.
Yeah, but I like their chicken tenders. They're marinated in something.
But what you're saying about Popeye's chicken
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Is the reverse as far as Chick-fil-A's chicken tenders are concerned.
But I'm not sure that's the case about the nuggets. Their nuggets are unlike any other nugget. And I dare say they are superior because they're actual cuts of chicken. They're not mashed and formed chicken sludge.
You know, though, I do like Sonic's popcorn chicken.
Yeah, okay, but that is the same kind.
Yeah.
It is, but it's thicker batter.
Mm-hmm.
But it is still like actual pieces of chicken. So, yeah, they're on par.
Yeah.
At least in quality, I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
There we go.
All right. This, for some reason to me, sounds inappropriate.
Okay.
Party bagels.
It might just be me. No, why that sounds inappropriate.
But it sounds inappropriate to me. Party bagels at Einstein Brothers Bagels. They're calling them party bagels because they're a bagel shop and they don't want to call them donuts. But they are donuts. But they only offer two things, and they're kind of like donut sandwiches. So here the two are. One of them is the churro party bagel, which features a donut that is sliced in half like a bagel, spread with a sweet cream cheese buttercream frosting, and dusted with cinnamon sugar on top. No?
I am about to... what's the other one?
The other one is the chocolate birthday cake party bagel. Takes a sliced donut, uses it as a sandwich, a layer of chocolate buttercream frosting, and then finish on top with a coating of chocolate frosting and confetti sprinkles.
Okay, this is why I'm shaking my head. I want to know when they started this, because our tiny little donut shop here in town
has been doing stuff like this for a while now.
Yes!
Yeah. I'm not even sure they're out yet.
See?
But I highly doubt Einstein Brothers in New York.
You don't know. That's the thing with social media today.
That's true.
You know?
Go follow some of those backwood towns donut shops.
Yeah.
And let's see what ideas we can steal.
Exactly.
Does our donut shop do a churro one?
I don't think that we do a churro one. We do have a pumpkin roll one.
Really?
Yes.
I'm on keto.
Just for today.
And finally, Chick-fil-A. Speaking of Chick-fil-A, Chick-fil-A's bottles of Chick-fil-A sauce and Polynesian sauce, which have been hyped now for, I think, well before our first taste test, like almost a half a year ago or more, are finally going to start rolling out in stores. So you can buy Chick-fil-A sauce, Polynesian sauce. They're in the bottles that kind of look like shampoo bottles. They look like Head and Shoulders bottles or something like that.
Shampoo.
What'd you
think I said? Laughed in the middle. I couldn't figure out what you said.
They're in the poo bottles.
That wasn't... what kind of bottles?
They'll roll out to select stores, which I think include Walmart in mid-November. And then there will be everywhere in early 2021. So,
okay.
And when I mean everywhere, I mean like everywhere. They'll be all over your car, all over your house.
Yeah.
They'll be...
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about our main topic. Today is the day. It's election day. And yes, we know, just like last year, in fact, most recent elections, neither option sounds all that appealing from a Christian standpoint. But here are a few reasons that you should definitely take the time to vote today if you haven't already. All right. Three reasons why Christians should vote. Number one.
I'm going to take a nap.
Go ahead. Political involvement demonstrates love for our neighbors. Jesus told us in Matthew 22 that the greatest commandment is to love God with all that we are and how we and he went on to say that the second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. Using our voice and our vote as Christians to influence the political landscape of our country is one way we can show love to our neighbors. Good laws and well-run government are essential to produce a flourishing society. Obeying these two commandments includes seeking legislation that protects the sanctity of life, religious freedom, family, and that compassionately cares for those in need. Engaging in politics allows us to affect change, and it's essential for believers who love their neighbors. You agree with that one?
Sure.
You agree?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I see the argument there.
Number two, political involvement demonstrates reverence for God. Paul writes in Romans 13 that Christians should respect and be subject to their government governing authorities because there is no authority except that which God has established. The Bible explicitly expresses an obligation to our government that is derived from God's authority. So as Americans, we are allowed the unique opportunity to influence our laws. For Christians, this means we must bring our biblical worldview to the public square. If we begin to remove ourselves from politics, this opens the door for moral decay and a culture shift, inevitably changing the direction of a government that honors God. That makes sense to you too?
Mm-hmm.
That good?
All right. Yeah.
And number three, political involvement shows respect for the Bible. 2 Timothy tells us that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Every good work definitely includes leveraging our faith to influence politics in a way that seeks to build God's kingdom on earth. Believers must understand a biblical worldview speaks into every aspect of our lives, including some of today's most controversial issues. Voting is an opportunity for us to love our neighbor by using our voice and our vote to influence the political landscape of the country. It's an opportunity for us to live out biblical principles in every area of our lives as we become a source for good in our communities and our nation. And another verse that captures the idea well is, I don't know where that word came from, Galatians 6:10, which says, therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people. And the previous verse is a powerful reminder to not give up and grow weary in doing good either. So, voting is important. We've established that principle with these three points.
Okay.
So that's where we're ending this segment, right there.
Okay.
It's important to vote.
So do it now.
If you haven't voted yet, go vote today. If the polls are open right now, you can skip the rest of the show. It'll be on podcast later. Go vote right now.
Yes.
But that being said.
Just kidding.
We're not going to tell you.
I'm just kidding. I was just joking. Kanye West, obviously.
Yeezy for Preezy.
Just saying.
Can you imagine President Kanye being sworn in?
It would be President West.
No.
Why does everybody keep saying
it? You know it would not be. He wouldn't call himself that. He would call himself President Yee. Or Yay, whatever. Y-E. How he has his Twitter account.
It would be
a sight to behold. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we are going to dive deeper into this election, specifically about why we may all be in for a big surprise tonight or in the coming days.
But first up, a taste test. Buckle up your taste buds when we come back to the Back Row Morning Show.
What did you say earlier about not being able to drink on election day? Stick around.
This is Mo from the Back Row Morning Show, and I've got your five random facts. Canadians say sorry so much that in 2009, a law was passed that an apology can't be used as an admission of guilt. If a polar bear and grizzly bear mate, their offspring is called a pizzy bear. Nintendo trademarked the phrase, "It's on like Donkey Kong," in 2010. A single strand of spaghetti is called a spaghetto. And if you point your car keys to your head, it increases the remote's signal range. For more random facts and hilarious nonsense, tune in to the Backrow Morning Show Monday through Thursday at 7 a.m. Central with an encore at 9.
Welcome back to the Back Row Morning Show. I'm Station Manager Matt.
And I'm Mo, and we hope you're listening to us on LTN Radio when we air each weekday morning at 7 a.m. and again at 9 a.m. Central.
That's right. You can head over to ltnonair.com and see the schedule and also download the Live 365 app on your smartphone device. You can also find us on your Echo devices. Go into your Alexa app, search for the LTN Radio skill, and then all you have to say is, Alexa, play Love Thy Nerd. Anytime. Stay up to date with our shows and enjoy our amazing mix of music, which we have playing throughout the day 24/7. Before we get back to our topic of the day, we've got a taste test.
Each Junk Food Tuesday, we taste test something new or odd or both. And today, I got to pick our taste test.
Hey.
Hooray!
Now, of course, this will be plenty entertaining in audio form, but it's even better on video. I'm pointing at a camera right now. We record all of our taste tests and put the full video on our Facebook page at the Back Row LTN. So go like us and never miss a bite. Oh, gosh. Okay, what do you have for us today?
I see what you did there with the word play. So you never miss a bite. I got it.
You got it. You picked up on that.
I finally picked that up. All right, you ready?
I'm just nervous that you're going to get me back for the turkey candy corn.
I'm probably not going to get you back.
Probably is the word that that worries me.
I've been exhausted the last few days, and so when I went to pick the taste test for today, I was like,
you don't want really anything that's going to gross you out.
Whatever. Exactly. This is punishment for me just as much as it is for you.
That's true. And I learned that the hard way last week. So.
Yes, you did.
All right.
So I got what we call fruit jerky.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
By the company named Soli. It is one whole organic banana with pecans.
Well,
in the form of jerky.
Why is it brown? Oh, because of the pecans. Okay.
Or a banana.
Bananas aren't brown. That's a gross bananas.
Does this look like a good banana to you?
No.
Exactly. So when I left...
Let me look at that package. Tell the story.
I left the house and told Chris that this was going to be our taste test, he was like, this sounds amazing. And I was like, really? Because I think it sounds kind of gross. But I mean...
I like these flavors. I like banana. I like pecans. I like banana bread. How much different could this be?
It just looks weird.
It's got like that oily stuff that you get from meat in these jerky things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know what that is, so that's weirding me out a bit.
What?
But it only has two ingredients, banana and pecan.
Yeah.
So, I mean... Okay, I'll let you open that up. This is a weird product.
Well, listen, and we have to eat it before next week because it's Best Buy November 18th. So, I mean, it had to be this week's taste test. There was no going around it.
Yeah, the only thing that's going to make me nervous is the texture.
Woo! It smells like banana baby food.
Oh!
That's
like a banana Sour Patch Kid. It's like sour smelling. Oh, it rips gross. Why does it look like meat?
It doesn't look like meat.
That looks like meat. That's a meat bite. Ew. You just ate one whole banana with pecans. So it's a whole banana. Oh, it stinks. My gosh, it stinks.
It smells like banana baby food.
It smells like sour bananas. It's like someone took a banana runt and covered it in the Sour Patch Kid stuff.
Are you ready? Are you going to stop talking long enough to actually do the taste test?
If I stop talking, I'll have to eat it. Mo. All right, here we go. Oh.
Remember, I don't like bananas.
You know that's right, you don't. Okay. Oh.
I am not a fan.
Oh. Oh, it's too sharp. It's too sharp of a flavor for bananas.
Oh, my word.
The texture's not bad. It's just like mushy. Not beef jerky texture.
It's not even mushy. It's like...
Ooh, okay. Hey.
It is oddly somewhere in between solid and mush. I don't understand.
I worked most of that banana flavor out. Now I'm tasting a lot of pecan, and it's much better. No, now it's worse. Ooh, now it's worse. It came back strong.
I can't decide if I want to eat the rest of it or not.
I don't like it. It took such a sharp turn so fast. Oh, gosh.
This is the weirdest taste test ever. I feel like it's very uneventful because...
What is that wicked bar? Ugh. It had three different levels of flavor at three different times. First, it was sharp and sour. Then it was muted and pecan flavored. And then it was just nasty.
I don't know if I like it or not. Inside.
Did you eat all your half?
Yeah, I ate all my half.
Eat the rest of it. No. Get it out of here.
Nope. Ugh. You can throw it in the trash.
Ugh.
So you're on the fence?
I feel like if you don't know if you like it, you don't like it.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair, but I can't decide if I hate it.
I hated it.
If it was the only thing on the planet to eat,
yeah,
I would eat it.
Yeah.
But I would also be very upset about it.
Yeah. I would not be happy.
Yeah.
Really, you couldn't see me any real jerky?
It's banana jerky. Yeah, it's a super strong banana flavor.
So I'm gonna say that I'm disappointed in that when I heard you first say the word fruit jerky.
Yeah.
In my mind, I pictured a fruit roll-up.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything that wasn't a fruit roll-up was going to be a disappointment for me.
Sorry.
I mean, it's like you said. Yeah, I'm sure I'd have gotten used to it if I took another bite knowing what was going to happen.
No, you wouldn't have.
Maybe.
I didn't.
I might have. Okay. If I'd eaten a whole banana with pecans, if I ate that whole thing and then had to survive on nothing but those, like you said, I'd do it, I'm sure. I wouldn't just starve.
But I think I'd much rather have a whole banana... And I don't like bananas.
And a handful of pecans.
And a handful of pecans. That would have been...
I still got this gross sour flavor in my throat.
It's like a... It's a overripe banana.
Definitely.
That banana was ready for banana bread.
Definitely.
That was not a banana that you needed to be eating.
Yeah. Definitely not hydro-pressed into a strip. Ugh. Blech.
Well... There you go. That was my payback for the spoiled meat candy corn.
If y'all haven't watched that video yet, go find it.
It's still
on our Facebook
making me
page
convulse.
At the back row LTN. You'll see that video from last week and this video from this week. Ugh.
I don't understand why I'm convulsing currently.
It was a traumatic experience.
It was traumatic.
You will wake up sweating in the middle of the night. Or dreams.
It was bad.
Of that turkey.
Listen, Mila did ask me.
Yeah.
So, Mom, since you don't like candy corn, did having that candy corn make you like regular candy corn any better? And I said, nope. Nope. Hate all
not
candy corn.
Not how that works. Now I will trust no candy corn ever again.
No candy corn.
Now every piece of candy corn I taste will remind me
exactly.
of the turkey player candy corn.
Yep. That is exactly what will happen.
All right, gang. So today is Election Day, and we've talked about that a lot on the show already. But we're going to talk about it a little bit more. Specifically, we're going to talk about an article that the Gospel Coalition put out called Why Many Americans Will Be Shocked on Election Day. So let me just read a little bit of what author Trevin Wax wrote. As Amos 7:14 says, I am not a prophet or the son of a prophet. I do not know who will win the presidential election, and even though I'm fascinated by various data points and pundit analysis that lay out different paths to either candidate's victory, and even if I have an inkling as to how things will turn out, you won't see me leaving my lane in order to make public predictions about who will be in the White House come January. But there is something that I can predict with nearly absolute certainty. Many Americans will be terribly and totally shocked by the election results. Why? Three reasons. Because fewer and fewer Americans live in communities or have close friendships with people who vote differently than they do. Because fewer and fewer Americans trust the polls and surveys that signal the state of the race. And because social media algorithms exacerbate and reinforce pre-existing political impressions. In other words,
that was a lot of big words for me.
We all live in an echo chamber. If you live in an area where everybody, most people that you know are voting for Trump, then likely your Facebook feed is also filled with people who mostly will be voting for Trump. Are you okay? You're having a bad reaction from the banana? That or she's just sick about this election, guys.
Maybe a mix of both. I think it was stuck in my back teeth.
It's like a second helping.
Great.
Save some for later.
Like the election.
Stuck in my craw all year.
I just never escape it.
So over the past few decades, Americans have increasingly self-segregated politically, is what it's saying, to the point that now most Americans live in landslide counties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our county is heavily Trump, but we're one of few in New Mexico that right. lean heavily Trump.
Yeah.
We're kind of this weird tail end of the Bible Belt.
Right.
Tail end of the conservative line here.
We're technically Texas.
Yeah, I mean, we're 10 minutes from the border, yeah. And so that has become the case pretty much all over America, is that people have moved and shifted to areas that have a heavy population of people that believe the same way they do.
Mm-hmm.
That's why California, New York, you can guarantee and have for many, many years now, those are going to go Democratic because Democrats have overwhelmingly moved there.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years. And that's kind of what's been happening to Texas in the last few years. We've been seeing that happen with Texas, and more Democrats are moving into Texas, and Texas is becoming closer and closer to flipping blue.
Yeah.
And there's even fear that that might happen in this election among Republicans. Bill Bishop, in a book written with Robert Cushing, calls this the big sort. They observe Americans becoming more and more polarized as each election passes, in part because landslide counties, where a candidate receives upward of 20% or more of the vote, have become the norm in both rural and urban America. In other words, many Americans live not in red and blue counties anymore, but in super red and super blue regions.
Mm-hmm.
David Wasserman writes, in reference to the 2016 election, if you feel like you hardly know anyone who disagrees with you about Trump, you're not alone. Chances are the election was a landslide in your backyard. So here's what the map looked like in 2016. Of the nation's 3,113 counties, or county equivalents, just 303 were decided by single digit margins, less than 10%.
Wow.
Less than 300, like essentially 300, 10% of those counties were like close races. In contrast, 1,096 counties fit the description in 1992. So a third in 1992's race were close races, toss-ups, essentially. Even though the election featured a wider national spread. And so during the same period, the number of extreme landslide counties, those decided by margins exceeding 50 percentage points, exploded from 93 in 1992 to 1,196 over a third of the nation's counties in 2016. So over a third now are super red or super blue.
Right.
You can always pretty much count on one way or the other. And this trend is likely to continue, and the effects might intensify as many businesses shift to working remotely. Both liberals and conservatives show a tendency to want to migrate to communities where they would fit in better. So we also have the online sorting. It's not just true of geographical location. Our online preferences reinforce this big sort idea. Consider the Lifeway Research and ERLC civility study that shows 48% of evangelicals by belief agree that they prefer to follow or befriend people on social media who have similar thoughts on social and political issues, which is not surprising.
Right.
People generally befriend others with similar interests and outlooks. But consider the statement about one's preferred way of getting news. 53% agree with the statement, "I trust news more if it's delivered by people who have similar thoughts on social and political issues as me."
Okay. To me, that just seems... the only word that I can think of is immature.
To only trust news from a source that is considered either your conservative or liberal.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
I just think it's very childish.
But then again, I think overall I agree with you. But this election, I'm not sure... That's changed or that's the same.
This year, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
The election is just a small part.
Because this year, I really don't trust almost all news media.
And that's the thing.
And I'm talking both liberal and conservative.
Yep.
Like, it's so polarized and both sides seem to ignore such big things on their own side that it's hard to trust anybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The only thing we used to have was like the Drudge Report, which used to kind of be a semi-unbiased thing. And then we found out later, or a few months ago, that Matt Drudge sold the Drudge Report. And now whoever's running it is also leaning heavy liberal. And so people who are like, huh, this used to be more balanced. What's going on?
No, now the only thing that we can really count on is when we go to sources like The Onion or Babylon Bee.
That seem to tell the future.
Those things, we can find humor in those things. We can know that those things aren't really happening. And I would rather read that than.
Except for the, I think, dozen times that the Babylon Bee has actually accurately predicted the political future, which is an article they posted a few months ago, which is nuts. We're living in a nutball.
It's prophetic.
Ugh, it's pathetic. It's prophetic.
Yeah, exactly.
But again, it's not surprising, as most people would rather have their worldviews confirmed than challenged.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the result is a myopic and distorted view of reality. We're left with impressions from Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter delivered up by algorithms that create a narrative that may be far from the truth. The Trump supporters see video after video or large campaign rallies, Biden's frequent gaffes, and anecdotal evidence of selective bits of data that point to a huge upset on Election Day. Biden supporters sees video after video of Trump saying something demeaning or silly, celebrity endorsements, or the Democratic candidate, and data points that signal a landslide Biden win. knowing that 74% of evangelicals are on Facebook at least a few times a week, according to certain studies, and knowing how these algorithms and filters work to tailor our feeds to our preferences, it's easy to see how those who spend time not only with their neighbors but also online are likely to feel confirmed in their belief that their candidate just couldn't possibly lose tonight. These habits fuel conspiracy theories and make more plausible the idea that the election must be rigged.
Mm-hmm.
And both Republicans and Democrats have openly entertained different versions of this theory.
Yeah.
Consistently.
I mean, there are always two sides to every coin.
Yeah.
And that I think that's why I always have such a difficult time every election year. Every time, because I have such a hard time believing what's real and what's false and what's exaggerated and what's just there for a conspiracy theory. It's not in the Bible who to vote for.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, but it's not.
It's in the Bible what to vote for.
Yes. But then I can't even feel like, okay, well, this person says that his beliefs align with many of my beliefs. But then I'm like, okay, but does he really? Or is it just a lie? Or is it just a fabrication to get our votes? It's exhausting.
It's very exhausting.
Every 4 years, I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what to do.
So, yeah, so after that first election that I voted in, which was George Bush versus Kerry, I remember me and my youth pastor, he was my youth pastor for like the last year that I was in youth group. Me and him were having a discussion as it was leading up to the next election.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a Democrat and I was a Republican. And we both had like a well thought out reason why we were what we were. And we had a legitimate, this was like the only civil discussion I've ever had on politics. We had a legitimate discussion about why we were each one. You know, he chose Democrat because he saw the Democratic Party as ones that truly cared for the poor, that gave money to the disenfranchised, made that part of their big platform. That's what they really want. You know, I would, you know, counter that, yeah, that's a fantastic thing, but it's not supposed to be taken from us. We're supposed to be freely giving that. And that would mean making sure that we have more money in our pocket to give us that opportunity to be generous,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just having it taken from us by the government and then doled out without our consent and where it goes, all that kind of stuff. That was just one of the main things that I remember. But that also brought up the fact that, well, a lot of Republicans don't. A lot of Republicans make more money than they give by a huge exponential amount. And rich people do tend to get richer. Now, one of the things that has been so remarkable about this last 4 years is that as rich people have gotten richer, something that's always promised by Republicans is that as rich people get richer, it'll kind of trickle down and the lower classes will get richer too. And that really hasn't worked.
Mm-hmm.
But this time around, every class got more money. It wasn't trickle down. It was just everybody was making more money.
Yeah.
And keeping more money. There were less taxes, less regulations, less hassle. Money was given. And it kind of worked for the first time ever. But before that, when we were having this discussion, it hadn't really worked.
Yeah.
That trickle down didn't really work. Rich got richer. Poor stayed where they were. Middle class kind of stayed where they were. With a few exceptions. And so we had this back and forth over the course, I think, of about a week and a half, just having different conversations every now and then about different topics between the two. And we eventually both came to the same conclusion of, yeah, neither one of these parties is actually a Christian party.
Yeah.
We shouldn't just vote straight Republican or straight Democrat.
Uh-huh.
We should research each candidate based upon what they believe and what they will enforce and, you know, what they'll uphold.
And that's where I've always stood.
Yeah.
I have a really difficult time saying that I'm affiliated with one party versus another.
Right.
I genuinely do. And I've always had the mindset of I really need to vote for the person, not the party. And that requires me to know about the person. Well, I feel like it gets harder and harder every single year to truly know and feel like I can trust the information that I'm receiving about the person.
Absolutely, yeah.
Which makes it harder to decide.
To make that decision, yeah.
Yeah.
And so just like it felt like last year, this year it kind of feels like a just close your eyes and blindly pull the lever.
Yeah.
And hope. And that's why it's so dangerous.
Exactly.
To have this nation be so split apart and so... Like, I remember seeing this chart a couple years ago about how... I think it was about the Senate. It was about the Senate where, you know, things would come, bills would come up or whatever, and there would always be like a few people on the left that would never vote for, you know, a conservative thing, and a few people on the right that would never vote for a liberal thing. But like most people in the middle, they'd come to some sort of understanding and agreement, and most things would pass if they were genuinely considered to be, you know, kind of a nonpartisan thing.
Right.
But now the map is like 80% of both sides of the Senate or the House are in that, nope, unless it's a full liberal thing or unless it's a full conservative thing, we're not voting for it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only like a handful of people in the middle who are willing to even talk things out.
Yeah.
And that is why very little gets done in American politics these days. And the things that do get done are extremely controversial and partisan, because the only things that ever get passed whenever one side, one party, has full control over the House and Senate and the presidency.
Yeah.
And that's also why the whole Supreme Court thing has been such a kerfuffle, because because the Supreme Court has leaned liberal for pretty much as long as we've been alive. And now with Amy Coney Barrett being sworn in, in addition to the other two that Trump has brought in during this term, it now leans conservative.
Mm-hmm.
For the first time in, like, I think it's like 80 years. For the first time in 80 years, the Supreme Court is leaning conservative. And because it's a change from the norm of what pretty much everyone in the House and the Senate have lived in for all or most of their life, because I don't think there are that many that are over 80 in the Senate. There are plenty that are. But for most of their life, now that's being challenged. Now that's being changed. And it's not seen as, okay, well, I guess now it's their turn. It's being seen as everything we cherish and hold dear and everything that is right is at stake.
Yeah.
And so that's why we have like AOC saying we should pack the court. That's why Donald Trump is being asked that, or not Donald Trump, Biden is being asked that question and having a hard time really answering, because what do we do? You know,
right.
How do we get that back? And again, I'm not trying to pile on one candidate or the other, but these are the things that are happening that are showcasing how split apart we are. We see, We see it every election with people like stealing signs of the opposing candidate, or, you know, spray painting things, you know, all that kind of stuff. But this year it's like there have been people that have been killed for like wearing a MAGA hat, or people that have been beaten up just for admitting that they voted for Trump at some point. And I'm sure that there have been other instances going the other direction too. I just don't have any of those in my mind. But the fact that we're so polar opposite that now it's a, like, your choice in candidate makes me think I have the justification to hurt you or even kill you. You can't get much further polarized than that.
Yeah. And it's sad.
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. It's incredibly disheartening to think that that is the nation that we have become.
And it's honestly frightening of, you know, this has been brought out many times as a, you know, a fear-mongering tactic of possible civil war over these things. I feel like we're at a point where that's a legitimate possibility. If Donald Trump wins or if Biden wins, I am afraid of what comes after tonight or what comes after we have a decision in this country. Because last time Donald Trump won and we had riots for weeks. just because they were upset.
Well, here's the good thing. You know, last time Donald Trump won, college students, high school students, no, not high school students, college students were given time off.
That's true. Mental health days.
Mental health days. You know, thanks to COVID, they already have time off.
Yeah. Maybe they're all mentally healthy.
It's,
or maybe it's working the opposite direction.
That's if there's anything that we could learn from 2020, it's that too much time off is not good. It ends very poorly.
Yep. So how should we respond as a church, getting back to this article here? First, we must remind ourselves that our king is not up for election, that our faith is global, not national, and that our politics, while important, are not ultimate. In other words, we lift up the prominence of King Jesus in our thinking and demote the politics of this world. We are to engage in the political process out of love for neighbor, not out of fear or anger. We vote, we serve, we participate, but we do so as exiles and sojourners, not as people who pin all our hopes to any party or politician.
I'm going to need you to copy and paste that and send it to me. That's going to be my status all day.
Second thing he writes here is, it's possible that church-going evangelicals are more likely than other Americans to come into contact with people with different political beliefs. Furthermore, 58% say that they have someone they would consider a close friend who differs from them in having a very different political view. This means the church has a grand opportunity to show a watching world what a community looks like where allegiance to Christ transcends the political differences of the current moment. We can push back against the trend of making nearly everything in life political and of reducing people to their political views.
Mm-hmm.
Good. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever happens tonight or in the coming months, don't be shocked. Be settled, firm in your faith, kind in your convictions, gracious in your words, generous in your actions. We belong to a community that believes there's no election shock and surprise that compares with Easter morning.
Mm-hmm.
This is an article by Trevin Wax on the Gospel Coalition. I don't always read the Gospel Coalition, but this one is a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Why many Americans will be shocked on Election Day. Guys, I don't know what's going to happen tonight. I know that I'm going to stay up as late as things are going on to find out. But either way, this too will pass, I hope.
It will.
I mean, how much worse could 2020 get? Or am I just daring 2020
to just prove me wrong? You're just daring 2020 at this point. See, that's where we are two very different people. You're like, how much worse can it get? And I'm like, it's 2020. Yeah.
Well, I mean, there's no limit. There's no limit to it.
There isn't.
You think there's a bottom, and then that bottom drops out, and there's another lower bottom underneath.
Yep. I'm not even sure that it's going to end after 2020. So, you know,
you've been banging that drum for a while, just cutting out all the hope.
I'll keep banging it.
So hang in there, guys. This political season's almost over.
Mm-hmm.
And we can start yelling at each other for other things.
Yeah.
So in light of that, you may be worried that your vote doesn't even matter. You may have the objection now that no one vote, after all, will make a difference in this election or political decision. So why bother casting a vote that has no meaning? The first thing to say about such an objection is that it's an odd way to think about doing anything with a communal element. I may decide not to recycle because my individual effort alone will not clean the environment, nor will my modest charitable gift solve poverty in my community, let alone my country or the world. Yet the combined efforts of Christians can have a staggering effect when taken together, when individuals do not think of their actions entirely through an individualistic lens.
And of course, we're not telling you who to vote for. We aren't a politically charged group or ministry, but we are encouraging you to go vote.
All right. We are going to take one more break. Don't go anywhere, because when we come back, we answer a question you've been dying to ask us, we're sure.
More Back Row Morning Show to come.
Stick around. What up, nerd? We hope you're enjoying the podcast. But did you know that Love Thy Nerd showcases most of their content on LTN Radio first. That's right. Check the schedule and listen to most of our shows before they're available here over at LTNOnAir.com. And while you're streaming, you'll also hear the best mix of Christian rock, rap, pop, and indie, and even some content made exclusively for our radio listeners. Stream directly from LTNOnAir.com or download the Live 365 app and favorite LTN Radio. And let us become your new daily soundtrack. You'll be glad you did. Welcome back to the Back Row Morning Show as things are winding down for the day.
But first, we're going to answer an Ask Us Anything question. If you were to remove one social media app from your phone, which would it be and why? This is easy.
Now, what's your answer?
TikTok.
That would imply that it's on your phone.
It is on my phone.
I downloaded it just so I can delete it. No.
That's kind of where I am. And it's funny because, oh my word, one of my lunch duty classes is a fifth grade class.
Yeah.
And because we're so small with hybrid, you know, I get this opportunity to really get to know these kids, you know, because I only have five in there. And every day they all call me Miss Mo. Miss Mo, you got TikTok, right? Yes, I have TikTok. What's your username? Can I follow you on TikTok? No, you absolutely may not follow me on TikTok. But why? Because. What's your username? Let me go follow you. Let me go see all the things that you're doing on TikTok. And they're like, no, that's okay. You don't need to see. Yeah, you're right. I don't need to see. Because I would be highly disappointed at all the moves y'all are doing on TikTok.
Your response implies to me that you are also doing things on TikTok that you don't want the children to see.
There's only one questionable TikTok, and it's not anything that I did. It might have been something I said.
Oh, I remember that one.
Yeah. And it wasn't that I said it. I just mouthed it.
Yeah. As somebody else said it.
Exactly. Exactly. And my TikTok was public until one of the youth members followed me and liked that video. And I instantly had like a panic attack where I was like,
why did I post this? Why did I post this? I thought it was funny at the time. Oh, gosh.
It was funny, but it's not funny now. Yeah.
Mine would be Twitter if I had to, because I hate it. I hate Twitter. Twitter just gets worse and worse every day. If I didn't have to run social media accounts for this show and for the radio station, I'd be gone. Like Roadrunner gone. Like you see a smoke outline of me.
Gone like
and I'm already a mile away.
Gone like yesterday.
Gone like
a soldier in the Civil War. Bang bang. That's an old country
song. Like yesterday is gone. Like high school dreams are gone.
Ooh.
Like childhood sweets are gone. It's a Sonic Flood song. Not Sonic Flood. Switchfoot song.
Oh.
Gone. Like Frank Sinatra. Like Elvis and his mom. Like Al Pacino's something. I don't remember. It's a good song. Maybe I'll find it and we'll play it. Shall we?
Hey, we should.
Let's end with our verse for the day.
Verse for the day is Luke 10:27. And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself."
That is going to do it for our show today. Be sure to check out all of what we do online at lovethynerd.com. We've got some amazing articles on all things nerdy, as well as this show, LTN Radio, and our other podcasts and videos. If you would like to directly support our mission and become a financial partner with Love Thy Nerd, and specifically with LTN Radio, then please visit lovethynerd.com/give and choose LTN Radio from the drop-down menu. Love Thy Nerd is a qualifying 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax-deductible.
And please appease our codependency tendency and follow us on all the socials at the Back Row LTN, at LTN On Air, and at Love Thy Nerd. And the Back Row Morning Show has its own Facebook group, Community for Christian Humor. Go follow us there, too. Back Row Baptist Church. So search us out and join in on the fun.
Mo's the rhyme animal. lastly, just in case you ever miss a day, find the Back Row Morning Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts. Subscribe, rate 5 stars, and leave a review, something of all the lines of I love it.
We'll be back tomorrow morning right here on LTN Radio at 7 a.m. with an encore at 9 a.m. Central. Have a great day.
Mo, what's your final thought?
Just vote.
Do it, guys. Do it now. Right now. Stop what you're doing and go now.
You did this last week.
And remember,
just go vote.
If nobody else tells you, we promise it's true. Jesus loves you there.
Work with a bunch of nerds.